the master of the two worlds, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has stated that there are four sunnah practices that are such that they are the sunnah practices of all of the prophets of Allah. And mashallah, alhamdulillah, you are aware of them. We are aware of them. And they are circumcision, using the miswak, the tooth stick, nikah, entering into wedlock, and applying the fragrance, the scent. These are the four sunnahs, the common sunnah practices of all of the prophets of Allah, and stated by the Prophet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a person implements a specific sunnah, then according to the thawab and the reward, you can imagine how much reward you are attaining or earning at that time. If you put on the scent, the fragrance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his special sunnah that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed and practiced continuously and a lot throughout his life. So it's necessary that every man and every woman, every brother and every sister should practice on this sunnah. The brother should apply the scent and the sister should apply the scent and the perfume and the fragrance. So we get the reward and we implement the sunnah. Further, to understand this, to apply the fragrance, to attain it, to apply it, to use it, and there are certain ways and methods and adab and manners of how to apply the fragrance, the technique, the methodology. This is a general point. I'm just going to explain now that in Islam, our deen, our way of life, it is full of specialities and benefits and uniqueness and characteristics. And the beauty of Islam is unique and stands out. And one of the unique beauties of Islam is such that the life of the insan, the individual, from morning until evening, from the morning until the night, Islam, which is our deen, it tells us the methodology of how to fulfill and carry out all of the actions from morning till night. And if insan, if the individual, according to those methods that have been taught to us, the techniques, the guidance that we've got, the manners, and he keeps those in mind, and he fulfills those actions from morning till night, the whole day long, then a beautiful color and uniqueness and qualities will come into that person's practice, into his life. And this is the difference between us and those who don't follow the deen. A big difference. They have to work, we also have to work from morning till evening. The necessities of life they have, and also we have: eating, drinking, sleeping, speaking, laughing, smiling. This is the fitrah of the human being, whether you believe in Allah or not. Everyone has to do the same, and we have to practice the same. What's the difference in our technique and methodology? And this is something we have to understand. That with us we have the guidance, the framework, the detailed technique, methodology. And those who don't follow the deen don't have this guidance. So if you practice something without guidance, then it's apparent that it cannot be beneficial. Yes, it cannot give you the benefit of what you're doing. For example, I'll start with an example. Take a washing machine. You don't have the guidebook, the instruction booklet. Then what will happen is that if you don't use it and maintain it as you should, you don't know what button to use, what program to use, which function to use, where should you put the powder in, what's the quantity, where should you put the conditioner, and how should you clean it, and you just put your hands here, left, right and center, then after some time, it may break down due to malfunction, maluse. But a person who uses the guidebook, the framework, the booklet, and he uses the benefit from the guidebook, then mashallah, that machine will continue along its cycle upon the life it should have given to the person, to the user. So if we take the example, all of our mamulat in our lives from morning till evening, all of our practices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a guideline. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حُسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala, the creator of the universe, gave us the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in his personality and life was total guidance. So we have now, so you can say the person who doesn't believe also drinks water, and after drinking water, there's no guideline how to drink, what not to drink, where should we drink, how many gulps, how many sips, you drink the water. And what is the consequence? Then yes, the urine will come. We have the guideline. We have the framework, the total book. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حُسَنًا. Sit down and drink with three gulps according to the adab and say Bismillah first, and after drinking say Alhamdulillah. On every gulp say Alhamdulillah. And drink according to the tariqah, sit down and drink. And what is this? These are the adab, the manners and method of drinking water. So he who doesn't follow that technique and framework, drinks and urine will come. That's the conclusion. And we believe in Allah, follow Rasulullah SAW, we have the guideline of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. We drink water medically. I won't go into medically the benefits. So many of following the sunnah and drinking. I'll speak generally. So what's the difference? He drank and urine came out of the body, end of story. And this person drank water according to the guideline, the framework, and he will also go and urinate eventually, but he gets continuous and ongoing thawab and benefit due to drinking the water according to the framework and guidelines given. Until the day of judgment, this will be weighed in your scale of deeds that you drank the water in this way at that time, and we have accepted, Allah Ta'ala says. This is it. So if we bring into every facet of our life, every guideline we utilize, Allah Ta'ala practically told us and taught us that everything we do, it will become daimi, it will be ongoing, continuous benefit. You eat food and the reward will not finish. You sleep, the reward will not finish. Whatever you do in your life, if you follow the guideline, then it will increase it, it will increase it, it will elevate it to the extent on the day of judgment. So many mounds and piles and mountains of rewards will come to our name. So how cautious we should be, how careful. I was talking about fragrance, and in between this came up. We should apply the fragrance. We apply fragrance, other people apply fragrance, children apply fragrance. But we should understand the adab, the manners of the fragrance. What is the adab? The technique, the methodology that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what method, technique did he teach to us of applying the fragrance? We do this morning and evening or during the day. First point that comes is that in scent, the woman should apply the scent fragrance and the man should apply the fragrance. What's the difference of the adab, the technique, the method? So let me speak a bit more so that we also have time to dhikr as well. Let me just be cautious of that. So what are the adab, the manners, the method for the man to apply perfume and fragrance? He should be especially careful that when he applies the perfume, the marks of the perfume should not be on his clothes or body. It should not have any color, strong color, and it should have a nice scent so it spreads to others. For example, for men folk, you have different scents. Different. You have oud, you have chamama, you have chameli, you have motia, you have all these fragrances. And there are others, other tastes. And the speciality qualities of these is that you put the atar on, you put the fragrance on. Yes, you have to use it and take it carefully, rub it onto the body. Then you won't see the marks of the fragrance on your clothes. You won't see the wetness of it or the color of it. And when you walk around and people walk past you, they will smell the nice smell coming from this brother. So these are the adab, the manners for the menfolk. And for women, it's different. For women, their fragrance is such that it, for example, should have maybe some color and some form and leave a mark. And the special thing they have to be careful of, the women folk, is that the smell shouldn't just spread so far around her. Rather, she should benefit from it. Maybe just somebody who's standing next to her. And mashallah, the smell that's come from the beginning is mendi. The fragrance of mendi, the Sahaba Ikram used it. And it's used ongoing, continuously. And mendi has this speciality in it. It shows the color. It has fragrance in it. A light smell. And it's beautiful. And it also gives attraction to the individual. This is not for the man. This is for who? The woman. Yes, you can put the mendi on the beard, the color. But putting on the feet, on the hands. People put the mendi on the feet, on the hands. This is not acceptable for the menfolk. The ulama kram, the scholars have said this. So, now, for the woman, there are adab, there are methods, there's the manners of applying the fragrance. How should the woman apply the fragrance? She should put the fragrance on so that maybe there's some color to it, maybe there's some mark of it on the body, but the smell of it should not spread strongly around her to other people. And for women, the rule is that men should not apply the scent that's made for women, and women should not apply the scent and the fragrance to their body that has been manufactured for men, which is designed to spread and reach to the nose of ghair mahram men. So a woman, if she applies fragrance and scent and perfume to her body, and the smell spreads to other people, especially men who are not good for her, then the hadith, it is mentioned that this is not a woman of good character. It's not good for that woman. It's not a good practice. Always, a woman should apply the fragrance, which is very light and sweet smelling. and not strong, and not that she's putting the fragrance on, it's spreading everywhere around her for meters and meters beyond, and she's leaving home and spreading it. No. Ah, but at home it's acceptable for her. If at home there's no ghair mahram, and it's just the woman or other women and her husband and mahram men are there, then it's permissible for her to apply the perfume which is strong. So these are the adab that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us about the fragrance, the perfume. Himself, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a personality and example, he was full of fragrance. Allah ta'ala made him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the emanator of fragrance. Fragrance would spread from his body, from his being, from his personality, subhanAllah. Rasulullah says, whichever street he would walk through, then that street for so long afterwards would be full of the smell and the fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it was recognized, if you had to find the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you could seek him through the streets that he had passed by smelling the fragrance that had been left behind. If, for example, somebody touched, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched something with his blessed hand or his blessed body, then that item or person would also become fragrant. This was the extent to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fragrant, and no other fragrance in the world would compare. I'll tell you the words of the Ashikain, the lovers, beautiful people who are here in the world. They said that we used to go, when we go to Madinatul Munawwara, then I'm talking about a lover of Rasulullah SAW. He said, I cannot understand what fragrance shall I run towards, oud or misk, or this fragrance, or that perfume, or that scent, or that flavor, thousands or hundreds of different times. He said, I can't choose. He said, Hazrat, why cannot choose? Because the fragrance that I can smell, there's nothing in comparison to that I can smell from these bottles. So some people, mashallah, their eyes, the veils have been removed from their eyes, from their visibility, from their hearts. The veils have been removed, and their status and rank is something else. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed fragrance from his hand, subhanAllah, when his hand or his body would touch something, Hazrat Sumray radiallahu anhu was a child at that time. He explains his event that I prayed salah, and after praying salah, I came out, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking, and I went behind him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love the children. He said, I went behind, and I saw further up that there were some children who were standing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went close to them with shafqat, with love and affection. He passed his hand over their heads and their shoulders, and he said, I came close, and I was so lucky and fortunate that day that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his hand over their head and their shoulders, but on both of my shoulders and my head, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his blessed hands. He said, it was a beautiful effect and conclusion. I was a child, but until today I remember this, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hands on my head and my face, it was so cool. My body was so cool at that time, and the fragrance was such that it was like a person was selling the fragrance, the scent and the perfume, and he wants to show the perfume. So he takes the lid off the bottle, the cap, and suddenly the fragrance smell spreads. He said, just like that, the smell spread across my body. And this was the effect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was full of and emanated fragrance all the time. And there are many events, and this is the sunnah of Rasulullah to apply the fragrance and the ithab. There was another companion, radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu, great companion. And about him, there's an event, a great event, a story that we learn about the ithr, the perfume, the fragrance. He said that, for example, he was married four times. He had four wives. And Umm Asim radiallahu anha, one of his wives, said that we were four, and we used to try and compete with each other, that we outdo each other in applying the best of the perfumes. So all of us used to compete and put nice perfumes on our body and our clothes. But Uqba, our husband, his fragrance was always stronger than ours, overwhelmed us. Not just stronger, but it was much more beautiful in smell. And I asked once, Uqba, tell me, that we have never seen you apply the scent to your body. You've got a little pot of oil, which is a bit dirty and grubby, and you rub that on your hands, but we've never smelt no fragrance from that pot of oil. But what beautiful smell comes from you, that we've all failed in competing against you with the smell. And we've heard outside that people, they try to come close to you and near to you. SubhanAllah. So he started smiling. He said, let me tell you the words about this, the secret behind it. He said, once I became ill, and the infection came onto my body, and the body became reddish in color, and there was like blisters and sores, and I had extreme difficulty. I had pain and burning like effect. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. He said, I became desperate. What shall I do? How do I cure this? So straight I went to the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm in extreme difficulty and pain. Please advise me, help me, give me some cure. My body is burning. I'm trying to cure my this, but I'm tired, I can't do anything. The Prophet ﷺ said, Uqba, what you do is that cover your satr from your navel to your knees. Take the remaining garments off and cover yourself from your navel to your knees so your private parts are covered and sit here. And he said, I presented myself and I was there, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited some du'as, some verses. Then he blowed on his hands, his blessed hands. And then from top to bottom on every part except from the satr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his hands. He said the hands would pass and my body was becoming full of the scent and the fragrance. So much was it fragrant that I cannot give you any example. The coolness and the fragrance was immersed all over my body. Subhanallah, it spread. And when Rasulullah stopped doing this, I couldn't understand that the illness had run away and I became a garden of fragrance. And he said, this is the reason, my wife, that so many days have passed. Even now, my body, such fragrance is emanating and coming out. Alhamdulillah, every man tries to sit next to me and says, that what scent have you applied to your body? What perfume have you put on? But this is the background. So this is the method, this is the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ applying the fragrance. And his personality and physical being was such that if anybody touched him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his auntie, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's auntie, Umm Salam radiyallahu anha, and sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to her home in the afternoon, pass some time and eat there and rest there. And Hazrat Umm Salama radiyallahu anha made a mattress with a special covering of leather for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so when he would come he could rest there. So while he used to lie down, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sweat a lot, and you can see that on the forehead there were beads like droplets of sweat that used to come out of the blessed forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his auntie said that when you used to lie down and the sweat used to come out on your forehead, and once I thought, so much smell, beautiful smell is coming from this sweat, I thought, let me do something. I took a little glass pot, and when you sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lie down, then I used to slowly get that piece of material like a scraper and take it off the forehead and put it into that glass pot. And when the sweat used to gather and collect into the pot, this was the good reason. So wherever there was anybody's wedding, a bride and a bridegroom, then I used to go there and I used to take the perfume, I take one drop out and give it to them, so that the bridegroom and the bride and all the people say, what a beautiful smell, and everyone will enjoy that smell. And she said that my work started and my pastime started. Alhamdulillah, I started to sell it. And they didn't know where this smell is coming from, where this fragrance is coming from. And I'd sell it to them. And once, she said, I was sitting doing my job in the afternoon, collecting the droplets, the pearls, the beads of sweat from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed forehead. And she started her work, mashallah. And then at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes opened and he saw sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, Umm Salam, what are you doing at this moment? What is this that you're doing? You've got a glass pot and you're collecting with this piece of material, you've got the droplets of sweat. She said, O Prophet of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed upon you, that mashallah, when you sweat and the droplets and beads of sweat that glow and glitter on your forehead, mashallah, and the beautiful smell, I with ease take them slowly, cautiously, and put them into the glass pot, and this whole smell has spread to the streets of Medina, and every bride is buying this. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, mashallah, you're doing very good thing and you will continue to do this, alhamdulillah. So this is the smell from the sweat of the Prophet ﷺ, from his blessed sweat, such beautiful fragrance. This was his miracle. Put his hand somewhere, smell. Body touches something, smell. Sweat from the Prophet ﷺ, body, this beautiful smell. So this azim sunnah, great sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that every Muslim woman and man should fulfill with adab, with the manners, with the methodology. Because this is not just the sunnah of one Nabi, one Prophet of Allah, but all the Prophets of Allah followed this sunnah of applying the fragrance, utilizing the fragrance, the scent and the perfume. And it's not just one event, many events and accounts and stories where people benefit from the fragrance. For example, a pious person saw a dream of the Prophet ﷺ, did ziyara. Rasulullah ﷺ came to the dream. When they woke up after the dream, the whole room was full of fragrance of the Prophet ﷺ. And the buzurgs, the Salaf Salin, say that even the Prophet ﷺ coming into the dream, and this is a miracle, that when he would leave and the dream, the person would wake up, the smell would be. Hazrat Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi alayh, great Sheikh, stated an account that once I used to recite, he said, regularly, Durood Sharif, salams and salat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and send the salams and the salat regularly, daily. He said, this was my habit. And especially on the night of Jummah, which is Thursday night for us, like tonight, he said, on this night especially, I used to make the program, the schedule of reciting Durood Sharif. And I allotted a certain number, 500 or 1,000, like a person allots. He said, regularly, I would never miss that opportunity on that night to recite the Durood Sharif. And he said, this is a great thing, a great practice. A person does something, if he starts something, practice, and regularly, then the barakat comes, and then the rewards come. This, if you do 1,000 today, tomorrow 2,000, the day after, no. If you sit down one day, you recite the tahajjud, and then nawafil salah, and reciting Quran, and then 2 days later you leave it, or you start coming to the masjid, 3 days later you disappear. No. Make a habit, make a program, totally. A schedule, go to a friend of Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, and ask him for advice. He will make you a program for you according to your condition, that your business will run, your company will run, your house will be fine. And he will give you a schedule, small, morning and evening, regularly, steadfastly, consistently. You do that practice, it will become accepted for you. So he said that I started an action, this was my habit. And mashallah, he was a muhaddith, and he had many other works of the deen. He said, but I was never negligent of this. I used to recite the durood. And he said, once after reciting, I slept and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in my dream and said, Subhanallah, where's that mouth that sends durood upon me? Where's that blessed, where are those blessed lips? Where's that mouth that sends? And I was ashamed, he said, that I'm worthy of sending durood, that I can present it. He said, then I was ashamed and I turned my face towards the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ then kissed me, he said. Subhanallah. And he said that when my eyes opened, that the whole room of mine was full of the fragrance of the Prophet ﷺ. This is Hazrat Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatulli alayhi. He said, for some days that smell stayed. So durood sharif, sending salat and salam, is a great action, because it's linked to who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what we realize is that every person who has a link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the fragrance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into that person's life and spreads. So you can imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person follows a sunnah and attaches himself to a sunnah and grabs that sunnah, then how much smell will spread, how much nur and light will spread due to that smell. There was an elder, Faizul Hasan Sahranpuri rahmatullahi, our Hazrat, my Sheikh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullahi alayhi, mashallah, my sheikh, his young life, a lot of his life, passed in Sahranpur in Deoband. Maybe I've told you this before, I'll repeat again, because I like to present the accounts of my sheikh, because the light comes in my heart when I do this. And on night of Jummah we also used to sit with him, so I remember these things. So Hazrat, my sheikh, said once, because my sheikh, he had links, obviously he studied and graduated from Sahranpur, Deoband, the madrasa, and in that day and age, Hazrat, mashallah, had the link with those great pious predecessors like Hazrat Mulana Khalil Ahmed Sarampuri rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi. These were the elders of the time. And Sheikhul Hadith, Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith Mulana Zakriya Sahib rahmatullahi, was the class fellow of my Sheikh. They were fellow students in the class. And his father used to teach, Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith's father used to teach Hadith to my Sheikh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza. My Sheikh's father himself was a Sheikhul Hadith in Bhopal, in Deoband. And himself, he was a Sheikhul Hadith, Hazrat Muhammad Hussain rahmatullah alayhi. And mashallah, he was from a sheikh of the Chishti family and was a wali from the Chishti family. So mashallah, they had lot of links. Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gongohi rahmatullah was present at that time in the Khanqah. And my sheikh Hazrat Ali Mutawa said that we were young then, and Hazrat Sheikh Al-Hadith, we used to play, we used to go to the Khanqah of Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gongohi rahmatullah alayhi. So subhanallah, what noor at that time. I'm talking about my sheikh. He graduated and studied and spent time with the great personalities of our deen. Hazrat Mulana Khalil Ahmad Sarampuri rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi, and he was a student of Mulana Khalil Ahmad Sarampuri rahmatullahi, and Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi. What a great nisbat and blessedness of Allah that I was attached to my sheikh. And this is the fairs, the blessings and of my sheikh, the Monday and Tuesday and Thursday we have gatherings of dhikr here. This is the fairs and the teachings and barakah and blessings of my sheikh that are spreading. Let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala allows this to continue to spread. And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala allows the fairs to continue to spread. Because we are worthless, we are useless, and may Allah Ta'ala keep allowing us to do the work of the deen. So, there was a elder, Hazrat Faizul Hasan, Sahranpuri rahmatullahi, and he was from the Qabareen, the elders, and he passed away. And when he passed away, rahmatullahi, then after passing away, when he had died, from his room, such a smell would emanate, beautiful fragrance. People from far would come to smell that fragrance. A month passed or more, the smell just would not go. And a person went, Hazrat Mulana Nanotvi Sahib Rahmatullah was alive at that time, and they went to Hazrat Mulana Nanotvi Sahib and they said, Hazrat Faizul Hasan Sahib has passed away. It's been more than a month and such a beautiful fragrance is coming from his room. It's not disappearing, it's just still there. The fragrance keeps on coming. So Hazrat smiled and said, do you not know the reason for this? He said, no, I don't. Please tell me. Hazrat Nanotvi Sahib Rahmatullah said that he used to recite durood in abundance consistently in his life. His habit was that on the night of Jummah, all the whole night of the Friday night, he used to recite durood Sharif. And his whole life he never left this practice. So why shouldn't his room, that even after departing, their room is full of the fragrance. So my brothers, this fragrance is a great practice. If you attain this practice in a bottle, you get it, apply the practice, apply the perfume to your body. If you recite durood sharif, attain the blessings of the fragrance. And if you follow the sunnahs of Rasulullah, then they also have the fragrance. If you get the beard, then you get the fragrance of the beard. Never leave any action which has a link with the Prophet Muhammad. Look, my friends, today we are speaking. Tomorrow the time will come and will tell us that what did we waste? What did we waste? What did we waste? May it not be that tomorrow we start regretting that we are the ummati, the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the members of his ummah, of his exclusive group, and we are ashamed of following him, of imitating him. To imitate him, to follow his sunnah, we went far from it, we detached from it, we disassociated from it. So tomorrow we will be so ashamed and regretful that I said I was yours, Rasulullah, but I could never become yours in my whole life. I could never follow you. So this shamefulness and delay and regrets and stopping and hesitating, get them far away from you. And make one method in your life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُسْوَةٌ حُسَنًا. We've been given a gift, a mercy, a ni'mah that has been given to no other nation of any prophet before us. No other ummah before us got this gift. We are the people with the glad news, the gift that we have a link with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how ungrateful will be that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept that beloved to him and he preferred it, he loved those actions and Allah loves those actions himself, and we can't bring them into our lives. What worship will that be? What Quran will that be? What salah will that be? What tawaf will that be? What sajda and prostration will that be? This is away from my understanding. This is away from that. If we don't have servanthood to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an imitation of his life, if we don't have the fragrance of his practices and sunnahs in our life, the fragrance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a very wide concept, a vast concept, not just the bottles of perfume, but the fragrances from all of his practices will come into the life. And how regretting is this, that despite having all of this and guidance, we can't practice them, we have hesitancy, we delay. My brothers, these are the messages that Allah has given to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us these messages. Allah has given us these messages and this guidance and framework and way of life. This is not a small thing. From small hadith to big hadith, from small ways to big ways, nothing is small. Go towards the sunnah, make it your habit. The elders in Islam have said that when we apply itar and perfume, make niyyah that Allah Ta'ala, this is for your sake. I am about to, for your sake, Allah, for your pleasure, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah and then apply the fragrance. There are three fragrances, especially from the sunnah you have, but many fragrances you can apply. There's oud, there's misk, and rayhan. There's another smell. This is also rayhan, which is all called majmua. And this is all, there are various names. So these fragrances Rasulullah used to use, and any other fragrance that you can attain. So first what you do is make intention that Allah, I'm about to apply the perfume for the pleasure of Allah, and I'm following the sunnah of Rasulullah. Then the second thing you should do, the second thing you should make when you apply the fragrance is that Allah, I'm about to do this symbol of the sunnah, I'm about to go to pray salah or read Quran or do dhikr, and I'm after applying the fragrance, it's apparent that there's a makhluk, a creation that I cannot see, and their weakness is fragrance, the perfume. And who are they? The angels. They love the fragrance. Remember this. What is their weakness? Fragrance and smell. And they love the fragrance and the smell. So I'm about to amal Allah and practice. Definitely the angels will come. So I'm doing this niyyah that they come and they become happy and they like, they benefit from my fragrance. And they said that this is also the niyyah should do when I go to the gathering and I stand for salah. May it not be that left and right people smell me of sweat or cigarettes or bad smelling clothes, or I haven't brushed my teeth, or the smell of my sweat and odor. So I also make this niyyah Allah, that I'm applying this fragrance so it spreads, and people who are left and right of me, that they also are benefiting from my sajda, from my prostration. They also enjoy the salah. They also enjoy the salah. Make this niyyah and intention. And another thing I will present, that for your life in this world, that when you apply the fragrance, it benefits you. Sometimes it happens, and it should happen. The husband and the wife, they should utilize the fragrance. Utilizing fragrance is a very lofty practice. And mashallah, And instead of spices and salt, you should utilize the fragrance and the scent and the perfume. And the women folk in the house, in the home, should apply the fragrance. So when the men come home, so instead of the smell of the food and the curry or the spices, that when the husband enters home, this is the jamal and the kamal, the effects of the fragrance, that the broken hearts or the relationships are suffering from stress and friction and issues. Maybe the husband's got anger or the wife's not happy for some reason. So when they sit down together, both of them have got the fragrance, and the husband comes in and he'll smell the fragrance and all his anger will disappear. And mashallah, she will get a reward, the woman that for the sake of her husband, she applied the fragrance, the perfume. And especially when the husband has the need for the wife, and the husband should also do the same, that when he comes home for his wife, he should be worried about her, and all of the smell outside, the cigarettes and the weather, the climate and the smells in the world and the streets, he enters into the house and she also needs some fragrance, he should also have something. So we should require, the menfolk, that we should put a nice fragrance and enter into the home, so that the wife, if there's an issue or problem, that due to the sadqa and the benefit of the fragrance, then her mind opens up, her feelings open up. And this is a great benefit. Many friends of Allah, walis of Allah, when they had issues at home, they'd apply the fragrance, explain how to do it, and their life would be full of benefits and change and revolution. So alhamdulillah, today we spoke about the scent, and what we should do is do amal on this sunnah. And men and the women, and whenever you're about to do something good or go somewhere and make this habit in your life, keep a pot, a small glass of perfume in your pocket and with you. But be careful of one thing, that don't put such a perfume so strong that blocks the nose of all the people around you. Then that smell, that will give difficulty. There will be a strong smell that people will not like. And be especially careful. You get some smells, you put them on, it's so strong, people start sneezing, then you are giving difficulty, not fragrance to others. And what benefit are you giving? So should be nice perfume, chameli, champa, or gulab, or rose, or oud, or misk, nice and sweet smelling. And inshallah, you make a nice environment. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.